It's a sermon and a title. Unfortunately, Keith Green left this earth at age 28, but his legacy outlived his life. He was known for his strong devotion to Christian evangelism, and most importantly, he challenged others to do the same. I was a punk. I was in the lunchroom looking at spinach on my tray. I did not like spinach. And my buddy came up to me, his name was Jeff Wagner, with this blue cassette tape. Anyone with me? All right. It said Sparrow on the side. I had never in my life heard of contemporary Christian anything. I didn't even know what it was. And he said, "This is Keith Green. You got to listen to him. He died about a month ago. My dad gave me this tape. I think you'll like it." And I heard, "He'll take care of the rest." I hadn't heard of Amy Grant, Sandy Patty, Lionel, right? The big names. I'd never heard of those names. They all followed after I listened to this guy, Keith Green. And I just learned recently, and I've heard this before, but I learned recently at this conference we were at, there's no such thing as Christian music. Only Christian lyrics. His music was so contemporary that a lot of churches weren't going there. They were like, "Man, this is too upbeat." Oh my goodness. His legacy continues. Died in a plane crash with his two children, July 28th, 1982. We're not talking about Keith this morning. We're talking about what Keith would want us to talk about this morning. We're keeping the main thing. He'll take care of the rest. Jesus will take care of the rest this morning. And I don't care what anyone's told you in the past. You are not an accident. God has designed you and created you for a purpose. I complete today. I actually thought it was going to be last week. But there's one last thing to talk about. And it hit me upside the head when I was listening to this song. Because the names that are mentioned in this song were not perfect people. Think about Moses. You just think about Noah. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. You think about the imperfections of the people that God chose. Crazy people. And God used them to change the lives of even this very guy standing on stage. People said Keith Green was nuts. He was nuts. Nuts for Jesus. The question you and I need to answer for ourselves this morning is, do I want my life to make a difference? Or do I just want to take up space? And I've said it to you, and this is our sixth week, and I promise you it will be the final week. Do you want to be a spectator, or do you want to get down on the fields? Get into the arena. Start making a difference. Step into a different life that says, there's something here that's required of me. I feel it, but it's not duty. It's not obligation. It's, I can't wait to do this because there's a gift. And I've been blessed by this. So it's not out of duty. It's because I can't wait to give it back to the one who gave it to me. That's the question that's been posed to you every week for 6 weeks. Today I want to talk about our experiences. I could go on and on about Keith Green's. Fortunately, when I met my wife and we got married, we found one thing very quickly in common. And that's some of that good music that was life-shaping, life-changing. It changed the tune. I was singing something different when I was out fishing or on the soccer field. I don't know why. It just was in my heart. It was in my head. And maybe it's because we only had one cassette tape. I don't know. And we played it over and over and over again. But it gave me hope. And man, that hope got me going. And no matter what, I couldn't stop. I want that tape. And I want that thing in my memory. I want it in my heart. It's life-changing. And it wasn't something to bring me down or bring me oppression. Today, we're targeting three different types of things. Romans says, "And we know all things work together for good." And if you have notes this morning, you want to just write all things down there, circle that. That's cool. God works for the good of those who know Him, who have been called according to His purpose. What that means is, no matter what your experience has been like, I don't care what it is, good, bad, ugly, there's no waste in God's economy. God can take those and transform them into something useful, not only for you, but for those around you. And I want to welcome you this morning to the 10:30 service. I bring hope this morning. It is not the news of Andrew and what I had going on this week. I needed hope this week. I made some big mistakes. It's the news of hope from Jesus. God can work all things together for good. Amen. Yeah, this song we were just singing up here, and thank you to those that are using their giftings up here. What a cool thing. They work very hard. I understand 3 practices a week for some of these guys. They love it because it's not about them. Today we're looking at these 3 different types. And if you have notes this morning, grab them, okay? There's pens in the bench there. Grab them, okay? Number 1 is God will use your painful experiences. And yes, I started with this one because those are the most relevant. Those are the ones that bring us home. There's great hope here. Hear it from this pulpit in Avalon. This very, very old building will tell you today and every Sunday, hope is alive. Hope is alive. As I've heard Pastor Warren say many times, 1,000 years from now, the Assyrian Empire will be gone. The United States, for sure, will be gone. Other countries will be gone, and empires that come and go, the church will still be here. Hope is alive. This church still stands. It's way outside the walls of this building. Sometimes, Proverbs says, it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Who said that? Who wrote Proverbs? Pretty smart guy. Painful experiences. There's a part of that verse that speaks to me and says, okay, God, what you're saying is sometimes no pain, no gain. It's more than a coach. That's a life coach speaking to me there. Thank you, Solomon. Last Saturday, not yesterday, we had a very painful experience. Here's a few seconds of how the middle to the end of our race went. In first place in an outrigger in Dana Point, going to win our very first race. I don't mean third place. I mean first place, baby. Feeling good about it. Things changed very quickly. And guys, you can roll the film. 20 seconds here. No sound. We don't need it. I don't want to hear it. Oh. But very quickly, we went from first to worst. Yeah, we're bailing there. Good old Dave's got a 5-gallon going. It was horrible. Because we hoolied once, got in the boat, and there was still way too much water there, and that's dangerous when you're in a big wave situation. And all of a sudden, that water started doing its thing side to side. Add a couple people in there, and we hoolied again, back to back. And the race was over for Team Catalina. Expected to win the race. Yeah, life experiences. As long as we look at it such as, this will make us stronger. We've hoolied a lot. I don't even know how many times. I don't really care. I know each time it happens, we don't think we're out of the race. We get up, we flip the darn thing, and we empty it out. We're dead tired afterwards, but you keep moving on. Why? Because it makes you stronger. As long as I don't give up. That's the reason. And that's really the lesson we're going to learn from pain in our lives. You know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But in the middle of pain, maybe you need to hear it. Maybe you need it reinforced this morning from God's word. Pain sometimes makes us stronger. God wants to take you through things to strengthen you. He's not a bad guy. He's just got a bigger plan. Pain teaches us things. It clarifies things in our head. My dad used to say things. Oh man, these dad phrases. I hope I'm not using them. My daughter may hear a few. My dad used to say things like, you're going to go through the school of hard knocks. I'm like, what's hard knocks? Had all these phrases. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. It's 6 of one, half dozen of what? The other. Yeah, and he always ended with pull my finger. I love that one, right? All the phrases he used, school of hard knocks. What was he talking about? Sometimes there's painful experiences. He said, when you get to school, call me if you need me. Even if you don't, call me. I love you. You got this. God wants to teach me something. That's true with you as well. Pain will wake you up. Amen to that?
Amen.
Oh my gosh, some of you are right there tracking with me. Experiences that are painful help us evaluate our priorities. Quickly, 1 year ago next month, I attended an incredible opportunity in Texas. I went to a worship night to start off a pastor's conference, church conference. It was great. And I got through the worship night only to find out the situation with my brother was not good, and his life would soon end after that. But I needed that worship conference. I needed those songs, most of which I never heard before. I didn't know I needed them till the news came about my brother. Y'all tracking with me? And then all that stuff that had just happened made sense. The words on the screen, even though I didn't know how the song went, those words started to burn into me. I looked at them and I felt the words. And they carried me on a plane to Florida. I was humbled because it caused me to depend on God, not knowing any more details than I knew from my phone call. It was the truth that this whole deal about God can use painful experiences, and that God will not waste or hurt. And if there's been hurt, if there's been tragedy in your life, He's not going to waste that. It's for something good. Amen? Feel free to jump in anytime you want in this message. Paul knew this. He authored Philippians 1 and he wrote, he was in prison and he wrote this, "I want you to know that what has happened to me has helped me spread the good news. I am in prison because I'm a believer in Christ. All the palace guards and everyone else knows this." In other words, Paul recognized what's happened. He said, because of this painful experience I'm in, God's being glorified in jail. Everybody knows this because I'm going through this hard time. God's love is being shared in jail. That's what God will do. He's going to take something painful and He'll use it to work on us. But He'll also use it to bless other people, those around us. The guards were blessed. The co-prisoners were blessed. And to this day, do you not read Paul like crazy out of your scripture? All the letters of Paul continuing to be blessed. Last winter, our family was notified in late September that we were going to have to move over Christmas break. Oh, joy. Filling the boxes instead of emptying Christmas boxes, filling them with our whole lives and throwing away a lot of stuff. Every time we move, we get rid of stuff. But it wasn't much fun. And then the news came about my brother. So not only did moving day happen, but I found out that he passed. So I went to visit him. Things weren't good. I came back to the island, packed up our stuff, living out of a box, transitioning to hopefully what would be a new house. Came down to the wire there. I found out he passed. It was painful. It was the most painful holiday I've had in a long time. And where's the painful experience in your life? Maybe it's this week. Maybe it's this morning. Maybe it's this year. Maybe it's 4 or 5 years ago. What has caused pain in your life? Maybe it was a divorce. And for younger people in here, maybe it was the divorce of your parents, a betrayal of some good friends, or maybe you're going through some health issues and you just can't handle it anymore. Or maybe some board members of your HOA or whatever. Okay, I'm getting a little personal here. Whatever it is, you never know where the pain can come from. Misunderstood. No one really knows who you are, yet they judge you. I want to tell you that God will use your pain. And for my family and me in the midst of that week, as hard as it was, God brought us together. I saw people in the picnic shelter at a lake that I hadn't been to since I was very young. We decided to have his celebration of life outside, as he was an outdoorsman. And people showed up I had never seen. Much less many, many years. I hadn't seen him in many years. But people I'd never seen before, they came together. It brought great encouragement. God used those people to to bring hope and trust Him more and depend Him more. And you know, just recently, one of the players that I coach here in Avalon had a great loss. And I don't know the full extent of how it all went down. I didn't need to know. I just know that they were suffering. And I went up and I said, you know, I've been in a similar spot. Dude, I'm right there tracking with you. And can I pray for you? How can I support you? You know, do you just want to talk? God used that from what happened with my brother right off the bat to help a young person. I was able to minister this kid out of a sense of empathy. Yes, because God had brought me through that week. I know you know this stuff. But have you ever thought that God would use what you have going on to literally help the person, maybe even sitting next door to you right now, or in your workplace, or maybe a family member right now that didn't look at it quite that way, but you are? But not only is it pain that God wants to use, but number two, we cross over. God is also going to use your positive experiences. Heard of a birthday party for one of my little girls yesterday, Alessandra. I saw one picture. I didn't have time for much more. I can't wait to say it to her personally. I had a lot going on yesterday. I wasn't in town. But it was an exciting experience. A lot of people showed up, it looked like, on the photo. She just turned 10. Am I right? 10 years. Birthday parties are always exciting until you reach a certain age, aren't they? Or aren't they? It's a positive experience. God doesn't just want to use your pain. He wants to use the things in your life that are good. Genesis 12 literally says it beautifully. This is God speaking. Ready? I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. That's God's desire. He literally wants to bless you. Wants to pour out blessings on us, His children. He is a good father. Amen. You've heard the song. That's His desire. He loves you. He loves to see you stoked. That's who God is. It's the character of His heart. And that's the kind of God that we talked about, that we love, and that we serve for week after week here. He's got something special for you. We've got many volunteers. And when we get a chance to talk to them and you get a chance to see them and rub elbows, it's fun behind the scenes. You know, you ask them sometimes, why do you do what you do? Why do you take the time to invest in people's lives? Why do you volunteer? What's your motivation? And quite often, most of the time, you're going to hear this story. When I was young, when I was in high school, somebody came alongside me and they made a difference in my life. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a teacher. Thank you, teachers. I know you're about to dive back in. Administrators, I know you're about to dive back in. We love you and love what you do. They came alongside me. They invested in my life. And I just want to be like that for somebody. Very simple definition. But their lives are changing other lives. I want to come alongside and support and care for somebody. For me, it was junior high, PE, and my Spanish teacher. He did a lousy job teaching me Spanish. Actually, I couldn't learn a thing. But he loved on me. When temptation was close to my locker, I'd open my locker and there would be a note hanging there of encouragement from my coach to keep my eyes focused on the prize. A great verse reminding me that there's more. Andrew, there's so much more. Don't fall into temptation. He chose to go after me. His name was Paul Shedd. He was always focused. Super kind, played for the Tulsa Roughnecks in the NASL. And one of the main reasons that I got into soccer so heavily, and even in high school, played at a higher level than I've ever played in my life. Paul Shedd followed me, and God used him to make a positive impact on my life. God can use a lot of things. He loves to do this. He can use a great friendship to motivate you. He literally can use the beauty of creation to inspire you. Just recently came back from stuff that just blew my mind. And I mean, he's just always working, but the handiwork. He can use compassion that you might not even realize that's that's surrounding you right now. People that show love towards you, you may not even realize that God's using them. He's using what they're bringing your way. Could it really be them, or could it be God behind them? He can use vacations. When I was growing up, we never took a big vacation. Dad was busy. We didn't do anything big or Hawaii or anything like that. We had a little 71 Oldsmobile station wagon. Best seat in the house was the back because it faced the opposite way. Anyone here? Yes, 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 exactly. All right. I love that. And you could fold the seats down. You could do whatever you wanted to. I was a rat. I was little. My two older brothers would bring blankets and other stuff, and we'd build forts in the back of that, sleeping bags over the seats. We'd make up songs. It was a positive thing. Do you know that God used that to shape and develop me when raising my kids? It was Fort City at our house all the time. Why? Because someone took the time to do that with me. It gave me that chance. I don't even know where we went on vacation. I remember the car time. They did it right. It was a positive thing. God used that as a part of developing who I am. He can do that for you. He can use anything. Do you know free cash works? You ever reach in your pocket, pull out a $5 or a $10 bill? And what happens to your face? Ooh! I found a 10. It's good. That's a good day. God can use it. Answered prayers. Act of kindness. God's not only interested in seeing us grow through pain, but he's interested in blessing us and using our positive experiences. Why? They want to change us. He's looking to change us. He's looking to refine us. Blessings come our way. Lecrae has a beautiful song. I'm counting my blessings. Where did he get that from? Let's see. A hymn? Where did the hymn come from? Scripture? It's always borrowed truth from the gospel, my friends. If I had to do it all over again, I would count my blessings. Because it's a changed life. As a result, look at the verse one more time. One more time. Roll with me. I will bless you, the first part says. Then the last part, and you will be a blessing. Catch that? I will bless you. You'll be a blessing. Make sure you catch that because there's two sides of this coin. God not only wants to bless us as his children, but he wants to turn around and have us be a blessing to those that surround us this week. Can you say you honestly were a blessing to those around you this week? Or were you a milestone around their neck? Maybe it's because you didn't have a chance to let God bless you. See, you act from an overflowing cup of what he's done for you. You receive, now you have something to offer. Amen? He'll use your pain. He'll use your positive things. Number three, he's going to use your spiritual experiences. This is a fun one here. Romans says, and this is Paul speaking again, I mean that I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith will help me. And what? Thank you. That's what God wants. Our faith to be an encouragement to one another. That's why we come together every week. Our faith is to help and encourage one another. You guys have seen a lot of testimonies up here recently. Brenda was up here sharing her guts out what God's done for her. Not afraid of the gospel. Okay? I had a ton of FCA kids up here. God is blessing that program. And let me say something. That took courage. These guys grabbed a microphone. One of them went out into the water just a few days later after giving his heart to Christ through Derek Minor and his testimony as a rap artist at camp. Great, great man. Number 7 on iTunes, by the way, young people, this week. His new album. Rap artist. Remember, there's no such thing as Christian music. Only Christian lyrics. Beto gave his heart to Christ, followed him in baptism. You know what? Part of the reasons your eyes are fixed on these testimonies, part of the reason you listen to every word and think, oh my gosh, that takes courage. You know what? It's because you know that these people aren't getting paid. This is not a paid advertisement. We did not pay Beto to go get baptized. I did not coerce Brenda to get up here and share her story. You know why? I'll tell you why these things are exciting to you. Because they literally are satisfied customers. Jesus has done something to them, and they don't want to sit around. Then the world creeps in, and he says, why did you do that? You shouldn't have done that. Talks you out of it, right? There's always an enemy. There's always opposition. But for that window of time where we were fighting and battling it, and we were winning that battle, people got up here and they said, it's not about me. It's about him. Write me off. Follow him. Okay? But here's my story. It's very plain. But this is who I used to be, and this is who I am now. Hope this helps. I'll talk to you later. Fight that opposition. Share that story. Someone's life gets changed as a result. That's a satisfied customer. We didn't offer them free Bibles for a month, for a year. We didn't give them any kind of other paid whatever. We just simply said, would you like to share your story? Sure. God will use your pain. God will use positive things in your life and things that are spiritual. All. God will use all of your experiences. Catch that? Then he'll use who you are to impact the lives of others. That's his plan. You just need to hear this, that God always wants to use people with different varieties in their background. I love this. I was brought up in a very, very multicultural environment. Many times before, I've told you of the way that I was brought up. It wouldn't seem multicultural, but it was. I wasn't given the option that God had not made colors. I was told to my face, God made colors. He is an incredible God. And to this day, raising my kids, since they could hear my voice, even in mom's tummy, I said, God made colors. He's an incredible God. You're one of many. Enjoy all of it. It is just this melting pot of creation. Go for it. Build new relationships. Learn new cultures. Why? Because heaven's going to look that way someday. Every kind of music, every kind of song, every kind of language, God has made all of that. And he'll use people with different gifts and different hearts, different abilities, different personalities, and different experiences to impact the world. And as I look in the Bible, I see that there are tons of people in here. And here we go. Keith Green reminded you of that a minute ago. Nobody's perfect except who? Yes. And there are tons of people. I literally would say it's a mixed bag. But I'll be flat honest with you. Some of these people are just crazy, in my opinion. It's a whole variety. It's a mixed bag. They're called the heroes of our faith. Here's a list of some that I found in the Bible. Hold on for the ride. As you hear this, realize that there's all kinds of variety going on. And if God can use this group, my friends, he can use any group, my friends. All right? Hold on. Here you go. First of all, did you hear Keith Green? Moses stuttered. Did you hear him in the song? He stuttered. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Rahab, a prostitute. David had an affair. Jacob, a liar. Ehud was left-handed, the left-handed assassin, he's called. Any other lefties in here? Be proud. I'm a lefty. All right? Solomon was too rich. He didn't die that way, but he was for a long time. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Timothy had ulcers. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. Paul was a murderer. Moses as well. Jonah ran away from God. Thomas doubted. Jeremiah was depressed. Elijah was burnt out. Are you tracking with me here? Okay. Martha was a worrywart. Noah got drunk and naked. Samson had long hair. Guys, the list goes on and on. God can use these guys to impact the world. God can use you. That's the bottom line, the deal. When you take steps to discover how you're shaped, guess what? He's going to use you to impact the world and all your baggage that comes with it. Somewhere, somehow, some congregation is going to be changed because of your story, not mine. Your baggage is not a waste in the economy of God. And somebody needs to hear your story. Somebody needs to hear your calling. Somebody needs to feel your giftedness. That's the bottom line. How do we do that? Well, let's chat about it. Four quick steps. I've chosen four. There may be more. Let's simplify it. Number one, experience God's grace. You got to start there. I think every song we sing up here will take you to the cross. Or what's the point? Why do we have wild men? John, why do we do wild men every Monday night? Ladies, why do you meet every single Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday? Why? Because there is hope in the grace of God. It starts with Jesus. He's changed my life. We got to meet. We got to talk about this. And let's invite some people. I'm not trying to be colorful. The only thing that draws you week after week after week isn't the food, my friends. Eventually, that gets old. Or you get well fed. It's all temporary. The eternal lastings of meeting together are because of the focus of Jesus and His grace. You need to experience the grace of God in your life today. And some of you have done this. Well done. Some of you are seeking and you're checking it out. Some of you have already done it and you just need to realize that God loves you. Come back to it. Come back to His grace. That's why I love summer camp. That's why I love going to a concert. Just got invited to one in October. It is already going to be incredible. I don't even have to go to it yet. Hillsong. Oh, yeah. Look at the crowd. Oh, yeah. Hillsong. Why? Because it's Hillsong? No, because they're singing about the grace of God. It's going to be life-changing. Guaranteed. Romans says this. If you confess that Jesus is your Lord, and look at your notes, circle it. Confess. You believe. And I circle that one. God raised Him from the dead. You'll be saved. It starts in your heart. If you confess and believe. That's all it takes. It's the bottom line. Some of you have this idea that it's some kind of super religion. Class 101, 201, 301, 401. Those are very good classes to go to. But you will hear right off the bat. Right off the bat, before discipleship starts, grace is what's necessary. And do you understand it? Do you believe it? Can you confess it? I'm not going to be the same again. Then 101, 201, 301. Allow yourself to grow. Allow yourself to be discipled. That's God's plan. If you believe, you belong. Experience His grace today. Experience His love for you today. Some of you are letting your past experiences keep you from God. You're letting your experience build up a wall between you and God. And over the last 10 years, specifically, I've heard this a lot. Andrew, you don't know what I've done. And my friend, I'm going to say it right back to your face. You don't know what I've done. You don't know everything I've said. You don't even know everything I said to my wife, Shelley, this week. You don't even know everything I've done or ever will do. And He's taken everything I'm going to do. And He put all these sins on Himself and the cross. And He paid the price for my sins. He took away my sins. He gave me His grace. I didn't deserve it. That's why it's called grace. It's undeserved love. So that's the same situation for you. And I don't know what you've done. And I don't know what Jesus has to restore in you. I just know He's willing to do it. And I don't know what you're thinking about today or the price you have to pay for it, but it is free. So experience His grace today. There's a story in the Bible about a guy named Levi. And there are actually some translations that call him Matthew. He was a tax collector and he was a very hated man. He had no friends. Very hated. And as a result, this guy became rich by ripping off everybody around him. Charged huge amounts of money. And then he would give only what's necessary to Rome. And as a result, made them happy, but made everybody else around him poor. Very hated man. Matthew 9:9. Jesus comes walking into a life and changes it. Watch this. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in a tax booth. And Jesus said to him, what? What? Yeah. I mean, there's no huge speech here. Hey, follow me. He has a choice. He got up, left everything, and followed him. The thing I want you to get is this. He spent his life living the world's way, following after money, power, prestige, whatever else. It left him empty. Jesus walked in and said, don't follow that anymore. I want you to follow me. And he had an encounter with Christ. Changed his life forever. If you know the story, you know that not only did he change right there, but he left his tax booth behind. Jesus changed him, fulfilled his life potential as a traveler and as a speaker and as a writer. He wrote the first book of the New Testament. Do you know that's the most widely read book on the planet? God's Word. It's huge. Most widely read person in the world. Jesus fulfilled that because he said to him, follow me. Don't let your past get in the way. Don't. Follow me today. And I got a feeling in here that there is someone today that Jesus is saying that to. And he's whispering in your soul, follow me. Don't keep living the world's way. Following the stuff that you're following, follow me. I have a plan for you. Follow me. And it starts when you experience his grace. You cannot listen to just one Keith Green song. It's like Pringles. Can't eat just one. And so I'm going to throw one at you that yanked my heartstrings up one side and down the other. And fishing on my dock as a young man, I would just sing it over and over again. I didn't even have all the words right. But this is called Until Your Love Broke Through.
I got 3 hours of sleep last night. And half an hour this afternoon I managed to sneak. But I am exhausted. But you know what? Jesus isn't. And when I'm weak, he's strongest. You know that? The weaker I get, the stronger he gets, so I don't have to worry about nothing. This is a song that the Lord gave to me and a couple of brothers about a year and a half ago. Me and a guy named Todd Fishkin and a guy named Randy Stonehill wrote this song together, and a brother of ours named Phil Kagi recorded it. It's about Jesus' holy love and how strong and powerful it is. If you're here for any other reason, go home or find out what the reason is and get there. Like a foolish dreamer trying to be wise, but then you took me by surprise, like waking up from the longest dream. How real it seemed until your love broke through. Oh, I've been lost in a fantasy. I've been searching for that crazy. answer was as easy as just asking you in. And I am so sure I could never doubt your gentle touch again. It's like the power of the wind, like waking up from the longest dream. How will it seem until your love, your love, your love broke through? 'Cause I've been lost in a vain
There's many of you that may not be able to relate to that music or that era. That's fine. But hopefully you get what he's singing about. Like waking up from the longest dream. When that broke through, I realized he had a plan. I realized I had giftings. I realized I wasn't here just to take up space and die, but to leave a legacy, outliving my years, because it's not about me. Follow me. Don't let your past get in the way. Follow me today. Thank him for your positive experiences. Thank you for the things in your life that are positive. Number two, sometimes this is hard, especially when it's hot and humid outside and your employees keep calling in sick. It's easy to start focusing on all the blahs and all the wrong with your life. Throw a little pity party and you get to be the guest of honor. Woe is me. Life is so hard, my life. Violins playing, all that junk. It's easy to get in me mode. I do it myself all the time. And I think we named a few others that were heroes in the Bible. But I want to challenge you to take the time to step back and thank God for the things that are positive. Especially just thank God for who he is. You don't have to say any more, actually. Psalm says this: give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues from generation to generation. Psalm 100 knocks it out of the park every time. God's goodness he showers on us by his own love, his interaction. Keith Green, even though he's not around, I'll take it. Thank you, God. That's the first thing you can be thankful for always, is the relationship that he has given to us through his son. Always. I can always thank you for that. This is a hard moment. This is a rough day. But you gave me your son, and I want to say thank you, God, and thank you, Son, and thank you, Spirit, because all three of you guys are going to be needed today, all of them, and thank you for who you are. I don't understand how you can be all three, but I need all three, y'all. You might want to start by being thankful for the fact you have clothes to wear. Some of y'all look pretty good, okay? Nobody came in here naked. Everybody looks good. You have a roof over your head. Some of you own a house or a mortgage. Sorry. Some of you have a great lease. You have a lease. Some of you have a job. I know I'm breaking it down. But you have things that keep you out of the elements. You got lots of love. Recently, I was in my office, and I had earlier this week, a rough week. And a friend named Jeff from Washington called me And he just said, hey, I heard some stuff online. Heard one of the things. Just want to say, good job. We go way back. Way back. We were kids. He just said, good job. Way to make things happen out there. And I said, I'm not doing anything. It gave me a chance to tell him, God's doing stuff. Jeff, how's it going in Washington? Turn it around. But you know, his call came right when I needed it. Thank you, God, for that encouragement. Thank you for that call. Thank you for Jeff. It's just a challenge to you. Make sure you stop and take the time to be thankful for the experiences that are positive. Don't take them for granted. Third thing is, because I know that not every experience you have in your life is positive, is this. Trust Him to transform your negative experiences. Trust Him. He's going to take those things. He's going to change them, mold them, move them in a way that becomes positive somehow. Young lady, my youth group, many years ago, a little building called Big Life Island. She got herself pregnant. The gentleman's name was Joel. They eventually got married. This is what she did. She trusted God for the life of that baby. She chose to keep the baby. The family had to work very hard. Life changed overnight. Pregnant teenager, she said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Him to transform this whole negative experience and not look at it this way. And you know what? Instead, she chose to have that baby, and the world was offering things. I mean, horrifying things. In her heart, she knows she could never go there. And what happened was this. Over the next few years, God took her and brought her a family around her that was totally loving and supportive. God gave her a home, and it was a stable home. It was wonderful. Do you know that she has a home now? And she opens her home to pregnant teenagers. She says, if you're going to go through a rough time right now, because I know these next 9 months are going to be rough, come stay with me. She has extra rooms in her home. I'll give you the support that you need. And I will love on you through this rough time. Totally allowed God, trusted God to transform a negative experience at that time in her age where she was at, something beautiful that will impact lives forever. Some of us just need to remember that if we said yes to God, the past has no power over us. Amen? If you said yes to God, you stepped across the line and said, I'm in. I'm all in. The reality is you are forgiven. God has cleared away the slate of your past. You don't have this burden of guilt anymore. 2 Corinthians, I've been staring at it right here. 2 Corinthians breaks it down. If anyone belongs to Christ, he's made what? New. Old things have gone. Everything's made new. But the problem is we still live in that old life. And we'll let us, the old life, it'll get a grip on us, some power over us. And we don't need to because we're made new. We just need to remember that. And that's not easy. The lesson on this sometimes is when you've already blown it once, you think to yourself, what the heck? I blew it. I might as well keep blowing it. How many can relate to that?
Oh, two of us? Thank you.
Yeah, might as well just keep on blowing it. I messed up once. Might as well keep doing it. It's like, you know, faulty logic. It's not right. I've coached soccer for many years at every level. And every year I start off telling kids, don't drink sodas. Don't eat that gummy bread, that hard-to-digest stuff. Steer clear of cheese pizza. And do you know, I blow it. Every time. We win a game, first thing I do is get a pizza and a Coke. As soon as I tell myself I can't have something, do you know that's what I want? Anybody else? Yes. I mean, that very thing. You can't have a bottle of the most awesome drink ever made, Mexican Coca-Cola, this week. And all I want that whole week is a Mexican Coca-Cola. The whole week. I'm staring at it. Every time I walk by, you know, whatever, Abe's or Target, and there it is, like a pallet of them. And I'm like, it's soccer season. I got 6 months to go or whatever. My mind focuses on that. I can't eat just one bowl of cereal. All of a sudden, it's three. You with me? I blow it. Why? And I just can't go back. Faulty logic. Same thing as I nicked myself shaving this morning. I might as well go ahead and cut my head off. Makes no sense at all. And yet, we do that. I just want to tell you this morning, don't let your past power over you if you said yes to Christ. You call on Him. I've trusted God. God frees you from your past. Some of us are letting our past, maybe a habit, possibly a secret sin, just get a hold on us. And boy, will it ever get a hold on you. It's a foothold that won't let go. And we don't need to do that. Christ has set you free. My favorite one, it's in my top three. Galatians says this, it's not for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that is so important to God that this is the main reason Jesus sets us free, to be free. Stand firm then. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's pretty cut and dry. Church, are you listening? It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Wow, man. I want to encourage you to allow God to transform your negative experiences. Let Him take your past. Let Him heal you from it. Then let Him use you to be a blessing to others. This last one is experience the joy of serving from your giftings. This church is loaded with joy when that happens. Philippians 2 says, when you serve from this place, okay? For it's God who works in you, inspiring both the will and the deed for His own chosen purpose. You're here for a purpose. God's designed you specifically, and He's pointing to you, saying, here it is. Here it is. Look. There's your purpose. Look what I've given you. There it is. Go with me on this. I want to challenge you to figure it out. Discover. Then serve from there. When you do, you'll experience joy. You think I'm talking about this thing because I'm paid to talk about it. You're the coach. You're the pastor. You're supposed to do that. No, it's experience. When you serve from your shape, you're just filled with joy. It overflows. You saw Keith Green's face. I know he died at age 28. But people had a hard time being sad when you said the words Keith Green. There was joy. It surrounded the guy. And there still is when you say his name today. It'll change your life. That's what we're talking about. That's why we spent 6 weeks on it. A young man was in high school named Todd. My freshman year, I had PE class. And I remember just doing these lame laps back and forth around the field. And this one kid, he had cerebral palsy, and he was in my PE class. And one day he came up after class. He just said, I would love to experience what it's like to run around that field. You know, I don't know what it's like to run. I've been taking this, you know, for granted. Immediately it hit my heart. I've been taking this for granted. Young man changed my life when he said those words. Stop thinking about this stupid class of running laps around the same old field. And this young man reminded me, at least you get to run, son. You get to run. I'd give anything to get out of this chair. Todd, here's my point. God's given you this potential. He's shaped you, created you in a way to serve. And here's my challenge. Run. Get out of the wheelchair. Do it. You officially are free to move about Avalon or wherever you go. Get it done. Discover your shape. Look at your giftings. You will experience a joy that is powerful. That's my challenge for you today. And here's the deal. First part of this, I'm going to throw a website up here. It might be helpful. The church is going to do great putting you in an area to serve. That's fine. But you may find out real quick that that's not your thing. And we can move or direct that. This website right here is pretty powerful. You want to get a screenshot on your phone. It actually has a really cool giftings test. I go there. A lot of our elders go to this site. It takes some time to invest, answer the questions, and I want you to do it away from church. You'll see this again in 301, but I'd rather you take time on your own. Just see, let God speak to you quietly. That website has a cool thing of looking at God's giftedness and ask you some questions so that you can explore it, because you may have a hard time getting there on your own. And this is really good God stuff that someone put together to help you discover it. The other thing is this. We have this volunteer card, and I I have them out there in the lobby. And we only do this a couple times a year, and so this is our coupleth time. And if there's an area of ministry you're looking at on here, it goes, man, that one's jumping at me. Check it off. Leaving the offering box out there. Why? Why are you sitting around when God's calling you to get out of the stands and onto the field? There may be four or five X's missing on here. Add one on there. I got a gifting that's not on your box, Pastor. Put it down. We'll figure it out. Why? Because God's gifted you differently. And we came up with five. How about 55? Or how about however many are in here? God's got that for you. Take your time. We're just giving you ideas, helping you, stirring these things. Why? Because Jesus is behind it. And I want to close with this as we finish out this series. I want you to make sure that as you leave this building, you know this. You're totally, completely unique. There is no one like you. And God loves you more than I can communicate. He's designed you for a purpose. You were made a certain way. Some of you have drifted, come full circle back to who God has made you to be. Get back to the callings. Get back to the things that have been the DNA of who you've been built and created and gifted to be. And don't run from Him. He's designed you for a purpose. I want to challenge you to discover that gift. And look at the mix of things in your personality and experiences and your abilities that God has made you to be to this day. And we're finished. Come on up, worship team. Nobody around you has the same skills. God's given you a personality. Sometimes our attitude needs to change, but our personality should never change. Who you are is important to this planet. Don't be someone else. Be who your personality is to be. If your attitude needs to change, just change that. But keep your personality. Love you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the giftings in this room. Thank you for the unique ability and the way that you've shown yourself time and time again, over and over again. I close this series. I lay it on the altar before you. The scriptures, the stories, the testimonies, the video stories and songs, all of which say, be who you were born to be. Come back to that person God made you to be. Give it up for Him. Jump out of the stands. Get in the game of life. Don't let the enemy and his opposition slow you down or shut you off. We come with courage. We come with risk. We come seeking. Thank you for your grace, because that's where it starts. And for those that don't know Christ, for those that want to, and you've been seeking and you found it, His love for you is real. Let us know. Let's move forward. Let's show you some scripture about what it's like to be where you're at, a new Christian. How do you move forward with that? Letting your whole family change and everything that comes with it. Thank you for your courage this morning that have received that grace. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.